It worries me when we start out like that.
I remember one time in Columbus, we were with Brother Hood, and I'm on, right? There we go. We were with Brother Hood, and he was waxing eloquent about heaven and all that, and then we heard that he had was feeling kind of sick, and we know he's had heart problems and things like that, and I'm thinking, oh man, the Lord's going to take him home, you know, he's all excited about heaven, and but he didn't. I mean, he's still around, amen. But I just thought, oh, start singing about heaven, maybe somebody's getting ready to go. And if it's me, I'm glad. I'll be looking forward to it, amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning if you would, and let's go start at Proverbs chapter 10. And what I'd like to do this morning, I've done a couple things like this the last couple times I was here, which I call survival verses. I think we talked about separation and also talked about false teachers and false prophets, things like that. And today, I'd like to give a talk. That's what they do in some of the churches. They give a talk on Bible preaching. Because a lot of times we have a misunderstanding of what Bible preaching is all about. And listen, what America needs is preaching. Not the relevant talks at the community church down the road, but they need somebody that'll stand up and preach. And we need people in churches that can deal with that. Because preaching is not an easy thing to deal with, amen? I mean, if you came in this morning and said, well, I want you to tell me something good, make me feel good, you're probably in the wrong place. I mean, I can point you to the one that can always make you feel good and handle your problems and stuff like that, but the purpose of preaching is not to make you feel good. It does sometimes. But there's a whole aspect of preaching that covers a lot of different things. So let's look at some things this morning, and let's start in Proverbs Proverbs chapter 10. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 real quick and look at some of this stuff on preaching. And preaching, by the way, is a bad thing nowadays. If you preach, you're religiously or politically incorrect. So we want to make sure that we understand what preaching is all about. Proverbs chapter 10, and let's look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. Let me get to it here real quick. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. Where the Bible says this. Well, let's have a word of prayer first and we'll get into it. Father, we come to this morning. We thank you again so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have to worship you in this country. And Lord, thank you for this building that's been provided. Lord, this is by your grace and this is your blessing. And to think what this church was used for and what it propagated in the past and now a place where the Word of God is preached, what a blessing. And we pray this morning, Father, that you'd bless us, help us to see some things from the Word of God, help us to understand some things about preaching, something that you've ordained, something that you take pleasure in. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you'd take this piece of dirt, stand behind the pulpit, in me and my flesh dwells no good thing, and without you I can't do anything. I pray, Father, that you would take this clay vessel, use it for your honor and glory in whatever way you see fit, and help us to understand some things from the Word of God this morning. Bless us, feed us. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. And Father, if you don't do this, we're wasting our time. If you don't get in this thing, Lord, we're wasting our time. It's all in vain. But I pray, Lord, that you would. You said, where two or more gathered together, there you are in the midst also. So we thank you for your presence amongst us this morning. And pray, Lord, that you would teach us. Help us in Christ's name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17 makes this statement. It says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. And there's the problem with preaching right there. If you are in the way of life, you should be a person that's keeping instruction. So a lot of times preaching is instruction. Here's what God says. Here's the way you're supposed to live. Here's what you're supposed to do. But then it says, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. A part of preaching is reproof. And that's the part we don't like. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. In fact, we're Americans. We're never wrong, right? I mean, nobody likes somebody standing behind a pulpit, pointing their finger and saying, you know, this is wrong, this isn't right, etc. And that's why, again, a lot of the crowd is at the community church this morning because they don't do that down there. They do whatever they do. They have their skits and all that stuff. But nobody stands behind a pulpit and points the finger. And That's why they have so many there this morning, because there's a crowd that refuseth reproof, especially as we see this generation in America now, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. Nobody's going to dare to judge my lifestyle, and that's why preaching isn't popular. Take your Bible and go down to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And if someone would be so kind as to get me a cup of water, I would appreciate it. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. I've had something going on in my throat. I'm not sure what's going on, but if I don't have water at a certain time, I'm in trouble. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And again, a lot of preaching is simply instruction and reproof, and how we respond to the instruction and how we respond to the reproof will be the blessing for us. But again, that's what preaching is. Preaching is instruction. Preaching is reproof. Preaching is rebuke. Preaching is setting things straight. Preaching is edification. All this involved is involved with preaching. And you say, well, preacher, why don't you just edify us and all that? Well, that'd be doing half the job. I mean, the Bible says specifically what we're supposed to do. We'll look at that here in just a minute. But understand this, that the problem with preaching is not so much the preacher, it's the people he's preaching to. And a lot of guys that want big congregations, and we all want big congregations, but a lot of guys want to take a shortcut, and they will never preach any kind of reproof or never kind of preach any kind of rebuke. It's always edification. It's always, you know, the feel-good kind of stuff. Thank you, brother. You know, that's why Joel Osteen doesn't preach and has 10,000 members. He tries to make everybody feel good. I mean, this is your greatest day and your greatest life, and you know everything's gonna happen for you, and so on and so forth. And that's why he has the crowd. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at what the Bible says specifically about preaching. Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew chapter 4, we'll start at somewhere around verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 17. Now, we all have our idea of what kind of preacher Jesus was, right? Let's see what he was. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 17. He says this, from that time, now this is after his temptation in the wilderness and so on and so forth, from after that time, Jesus began to preach. There's the word, to preach. Now, keep your finger there and turn over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Very important verse, Titus chapter 1 verse 3. Actually, start at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "...an hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested..." Now watch this. "...manifested His word through preaching." Preaching. He manifested His word through the declaring of the word of God. Not in anything else, but he says through preaching. Take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 1. And again, in America today, you know, to be a preacher is to be preachy. Yes, people say, we don't want you to get preachy. They refer to some preachers in the fundamental camp as sermonators. That doesn't bother me. You know, I think that's kind of cool to be a sermonator, you know. I'll be back. But to them, it's just a terrible thing to be a guy that stands behind a pulpit and preaches and dares to be judgmental. We'll talk all about that in just a minute. But look, if you would, at Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 27, says, "...to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach," speaking about Christ, "...whom we preach, comma, warning every man, comma, and teaching every man in all wisdom. So he defines preaching there very simply as this. We preach, number one, warning people, and number two, teaching. So the idea of preaching is very simple. A guy gets behind a pulpit, and he begins to teach, edify, he begins to, I'm missing the word I'm trying to figure out. Anyway, he begins to try to teach the Word of God. This is what the verse means. This is what this text means, and so on and so forth. And then once you understand what it means, then the warning part. If you don't do what I just taught you, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be in trouble. So preaching is teaching what's right and then warning the people to do something with what you were just taught. And a lot of times, you know, in our camp, a lot of times the guys will get out and do the warning first before the people even understand what the verse says. So we got to be careful about that. We need to teach what the verse says first. So make sure everybody understands this is what the Bible says. This is the teaching on that. And then you do the warning. If you don't do this, this problem. If you don't do that, that problem, etc. Teaching and warning. Everybody likes the teaching part of it. As somebody once said one time, you know, when the fellow went to preach and he had gone to meddling, it's okay to teach what something says, but stay out of my life. But the warning thing is after I've taught, I'm getting in your life. Or not so much me, the Holy Spirit of God is getting in your life and dealing with you about some things. And that's what preaching is, teaching and warning people. And again, it's okay, the teaching part is always okay. That's why they heap unto themselves teachers, the Bible says, in the last days, having itching ears and so on and so forth. People love to be taught. They'll drive 10 miles down the road to go to a church that teaches them something. But they can't stand the church where the preacher is getting into their lives, getting into their business, pointing the finger, etc. Which also, you know, and I've told fellows this at pastors' meetings and what have you, just because the Bible says in the last days they'll heap it on themselves teachers, having itching ears. You all understand what I'm talking about, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the day will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but heap of themselves teachers having itching ears. That doesn't mean teaching is wrong. See, the Bible says the gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, pastors and teachers. There's nothing wrong with teaching. And because that crowd may emphasize teaching and not preach, we have the tendency to just go the opposite direction and we'll say, well, we'll just preach and forget the teaching. No, people need to be taught. People love to be taught. So we need, as leaders, we need to teach people what the Bible says. Spend time teaching them, but at the same time, make the application. That goes into the warning part, making the application to your life. What I just taught you, here's how that works in your life. And again, that's when the problems start. That's when the person stomps out the door and they decide never to come back because the preacher said, well, he taught you from what the Bible says and he applied it to your life. Because you refuse reproof, you're going to leave the church. See, that's how that thing works. But anyway, now let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. And let's see Jesus preaching. Matthew chapter 4, I believe it's verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this, from that time, again, after the temptation of the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus began to preach. So preaching is the declaration of the Word of God. Preaching is what somebody does in front of a crowd of people. Preaching is what somebody does in front of one person. Keep your finger there and go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm sorry, it's not Acts chapter 10. It's Acts chapter 8. Now, Philip had been preaching in Samaria. The Lord calls him, and I believe Philip was the only evangelist in the Bible, and the Lord called him to go to the south. I've taken that literally in the wintertime, so it's a biblical approach. But he heads down, and he finds a guy known as the Ethiopian eunuch, heading down the road. He sees him reading something. He jumps up in the chariot with him. He says, what are you reading? And the guy says, I can't understand this. So Philip begins to explain it to him. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's one guy talking to one other guy, and the Bible says it's preaching. So anytime we declare the truth of the gospel, whether it's one person or 100 people or 1,000 people, declaring of the word of God is preaching. That's the idea of preaching. And again, when you witness to somebody, you're preaching to them, and you're teaching them what the Bible says and then warning them about what they should do with it. When you're standing in front of a group of people, you're teaching them, and then you're warning them about what they should do with it, teaching and preaching. But preaching is one man or one man to one other man or a group of people declaring the truth of the Bible. When it comes to a crowd, I mean, if I'm talking to you one-on-one, I'm not raising my voice. I don't have to. It's one-on-one. If I'm preaching to a crowd, I have to raise my voice and lift up my voice like a trumpet and cry aloud and spare not, as Isaiah said. But either way, it's preaching. And some people, you know, we've preached on the street for years, and people have said, you know, why are you yelling like that? And I look around and say, because there's thousands of people out here. I'm trying to get them to hear it, you know. Nobody's yelling, nobody's screaming. We're raising our voice above the ambient noise around us, trying to get the message to the people that are there. So either way, preaching is declaring the word of God. I know if you go to North Carolina, if you preach in North Carolina and you don't walk away soaking wet, you haven't preached. I remember Mike Walski, a missionary to Poland, when he was on deputation, said he'd preached in North Carolina. He said, I gave it everything I had. He said, when I sat down, the preacher stood up and said, thank you for that talk. Because a North Carolina man, how many anybody here from North Carolina? I mean, North Carolina man, everything goes out, man. I mean, there's no waiting between the words. If they don't have a word, it's a you know, and But when they're done, they're soaking wet and sweating, what have you. And to them, that's preaching, man. If you don't do that, you ain't preached. Of course, you go up to Maine. Anybody here from Maine? You go up in Maine. And you're lucky if you get a squeak out of the crowd when you preach or anything like that. They're shocked if you get too loud or what have you. So everybody has a definition of preaching, depending on what part of the country you're from. But biblically, preaching is declaring the word of God to people. Very simply. Teaching them and warning them. Interesting thing here. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 4. Now notice, we were looking at Matthew 4 and verse 17. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach. So Jesus started out preaching. He started out declaring the truth of the Word of God. Luke chapter 4, very interesting thing here. Luke chapter 4 is the Lord's first recorded message. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 16. This is his first recorded message. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So that's his text. He closes the book, he begins to preach, and as he goes on in the message, things don't go too well. Now, could Jesus have possibly made a mistake? I know this is his first recorded message. Could he have possibly made a mistake in the way he preached? Is he inexperienced and maybe he could have done it a little differently? We're talking about Jesus here. We're not talking about me. We're talking about Jesus. He can't make any mistakes. He does everything right. So whatever he preached here was absolutely right. And it was done the right way. You agree? Because to not agree with that is to say, well, Jesus did it the wrong way. Who would dare to say that? So we agree with Jesus did. He preached right. He preached the right way. Okay, verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. So the response to Jesus preaching the right message the right way was, they want to kill him. People say, well, you know, Jesus would never say anything that got anybody mad. This crowd sure got mad. So when it comes to preaching, You don't judge the rightness of preaching by the response of the people. Because the response of the people here would dictate to many people that the preaching was wrong. But Jesus can't do anything wrong. So the problem wasn't the preaching. The problem was the wicked hearts of the people. That's an important thing to keep in mind. People leave churches all across the country every Sunday, every Wednesday, every week. People, either they stomp out of the church or they stop coming to church, and the first person they want to blame is the preacher. And in some cases, the preacher is to be blamed. But in most cases, it's not the preacher. It's the wicked heart of the people. It's the rebellious, stubborn heart of the people that refuses to submit to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Now, you may know people that have left the church here. I don't know the history of it, anything like that, but, you know, generically speaking, you know, there may have been somebody here that left the church and stomped out, and, you know, it's a preacher. I guarantee you it's not the preacher. It's the wicked, hard heart of those people. And so when they call you up or write you the letters or send you the email about what's wrong with your church, you might want to remind them of that. And say, you know, it's not the church, my friend. It's your dirty, stinking, wicked, rebellious, non-submissive, dirty heart. Amen. But don't ever think, you know, because there was a negative response, it was the preacher's fault. Jesus had an incredibly negative response to his message. But it was not his fault, it was the fault of the people. Take your Bible and go now to, let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Let's go back there, or to there. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's stay with Matthew 4, verse 17. I forgot something. Back to verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, and the first thing he said was, repent. Is repent positive or negative? Repentance is to the world, a negative thing. The last thing they want to hear is repent. The last thing they want to see is the guy standing with the sandwich sign or the big banner that says, repent, you know, God is coming or something. We've all seen that. That's the last thing the world wants to see because it has a negative connotation. If I tell you repent, and repent, by the way, simply means you're going in this direction and that's the direction you need to be going in and you need to change, turn around, and go that way. And that's the problem. Nobody wants to say, preacher, you're right, I'm wrong, God's right, I'm wrong, you know, I'm gonna go God's way. That's a difficult thing. And we talk about easy believism. It's easy to believe. It sure is hard to repent. That's the problem. And the Bible says repentance towards God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So they both work hand in hand. And again, to tell somebody to repent is like saying, hey, you're wrong. You're going the wrong way. You're believing the wrong thing. You're going to the wrong church and all that stuff. And this is the way that you need to go. And that's just a very negative thing. Keep your finger there and take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Classic verse on this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's Paul's charge to a young preacher. He says, I charge thee in verse 1. Verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4 says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as is appearing in his kingdom. Now look at verse 2. Preach the word. There it is again. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. In other words, be ready anytime. Then he says this, reprove, positive or negative. Negative. Rebuke, positive or negative? Negative. Exhort, that's positive, with all long-suffering and doctrine. So two-thirds of the message is negative. You say, why does it have to be that way, preacher? Because we have a dirty, filthy, wicked sin nature, that's why. If we didn't have the sin nature that we had to deal with every day, we wouldn't have to reprove and rebuke. But because of that dirty, filthy sin nature that you have and that I have, this flesh that we dwell in, because of the wickedness of that flesh, we need somebody to reprove us, and we need somebody to rebuke us, and we need somebody to exhort us. But two-thirds of the message is negative. Say, preacher, I can't stand negative. You know, years ago I was preaching in Portside in Toledo. Toledo has always tried to do something with their riverfront. They've built it up and all that, tried to put restaurants along it. And the problem is they have two problems. Number one, they charge too much for people to go down there. And number two, there's no place to park. They want all these people to come down, and there's no place to park. Or there is a place to park, and you have to pay, you know, to park down there when you can drive, you know, 5 miles out of town and, you know, have park for free and get something at a much less price. But they can't figure that out. A lot of things they can't figure out in Toledo. Anyway, they had developed Portside along the Maumee River downtown and what have you, and there was a crowd down there, so we had gone down to preach. And I was preaching away in the one area, and this guy comes by. He's very upset, and he comes up, and he says, "You people are just negative. You're just negative. All the time you're just negative." And he went on and on about how we should be positive. When he was done, I casually said, "Are you finished?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay. Did you drive here?" "Well, of course I drove here." You know, I must have offended him when he said that. He said, "Of course I drove here." I said, "Do me a favor. When you get back to your car, disconnect the negative cable. Because you just need positive, right? Just disconnect the negative cable and tell me how well your car runs." He said, "Well, if I disconnect the negative cable," and then dawned on him, "it won't start." I said, "Right. Because in this world in which we live, it's negative and positive. You've got to have both. And as far as spiritual things are concerned, there's negative and there's positive. You've got to have both." And again, preaching, a lot of preaching is negative. Reproving and rebuking is negative in that sense. I mean, we could say, well, it's positive in the respect that if a person receives the reproof and changes, that's a positive thing. Yeah, I agree, it's a positive thing. But to present the reproof or the rebuke is always taken as being a negative thing. But you have to have negative and positive. I mean, you can emphasize the positive. We can stand here and preach about heaven every week. We can stand here and talk about eternal life and how good it'll be to walk on the street of gold and so on and so forth. But that's not the whole message. Just as sure as there is a wonderful place called heaven, there's a horrible place called hell. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. So anyway, he says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse... Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Verse 3, "For the time will come," which is where we are right now, "the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Sound doctrine is something that has to be endured. You know, I mean, some of the doctrines are wonderful. Some of the doctrines grate us the wrong way. But we endure sound doctrine. This is why the non-denominationalists say, "Well, you know, we don't preach doctrine here." Well, that's a doctrine in itself. But yeah, you know, they're not going to preach doctrine there because people can't endure sound doctrine. You know, they want to be the church of, everything for everybody. And we can't take that position. God's given us His truth in the Word of God. This is what the Bible says. So we declare what the Bible says. You do with it whatever you want to do with it. You know, years ago, the big advertisement, "Go to the church of your choice." Why don't we try to go to the church of God's choice? God's church is going to be preaching the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, and you'll be dealing with it. But that's the idea. Matthew chapter 10. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and we'll start around verse 5. Now understand this. Jesus began to preach. He preached, "Repent." The guy that preached before him that declared his coming, John the Baptist, started out by preaching, "Repent." Now we're going to see the Lord letting his disciples know that they need to preach repentance. Verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, or in the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he gives them a whole list here of things that they need to be preaching on. And basically, they're going to be preaching a message of repentance. The apostles always preached repentance. And their disciples after them preached a message of repentance. So we've got John the Baptist, Jesus, the message of the apostles, and their disciples preaching this message of repentance. And understand this, that the word preach shows up 141 times in the New Testament, 103 times between Acts and Revelation. And the idea, again, is to proclaim and declare the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. This is what the Bible says. We preach the gospel. And if you go to the average commentator, will tell you the word gospel means good news. But if you study the English word, it's a combination of two things, God and spell. In other words, this is God's spelling or God's message. That's what evangelism is, preaching God's spelling, God's message. Because you preach the gospel, it's not just good news. A lot of the gospel is good news, but not all of it's good news if you're preaching it correctly. Good news, Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day from the dead. Bad news, you reject that and you're going to go to hell. So it's not just good news. It's God's spelling, God's message, God's written message, if you will, to the world, which is good news and bad news. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. What time am I supposed to be done? Okay. Acts chapter 8. And look, if we would, at verse 4. Acts 8 and verse 4 says, therefore they, so we need to stop right there because we don't know who the they is. So let's go back to verse 1 and figure out who the they is. Verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they, so there's our they right there, and they of the church at Jerusalem were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the they in verse 4 are the church folks minus the apostles. Now go down to verse 4. Therefore they, the church folk minus the apostles, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. What are they doing? They're witnessing. They're talking to people one-on-one, or they're standing on a street corner to a group of people and declaring the Word of God. But they went everywhere preaching. So the moral of the story is very simple. Every church member has a responsibility to preach. So I'm not called to preach. Well, that's an interesting thing when you study the call to preach in the New Testament. It's not necessarily a gift, if you will. Preaching is simply declaring the Word of God. When you got saved, listen to this now, when you got saved, in a sense, God called you to preach. You say, I'm not in the ministry. Yes, you are. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. So every believer has the ministry of reconciliation, and to bring reconciliation between God and sinners, you have to declare or preach what God said. So every one of you here is called to preach in that sense. Every one of you here has the ministry of reconciliation and the responsibility to do what God wants you to do. And then from beyond that, it gets specific. Then maybe God will call someone to the mission field or to the pastorate or something like that. But every one of you has got the ministry of reconciliation. You've all got the responsibility to preach. Now, notice again in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They weren't limited to a pulpit somewhere. These were people that were not behind the pulpit. The apostles were behind the pulpit, if you will. These were simply normal, average, everyday people that wherever they went, they talked to people about Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the New Testament method of visitation. You know, some churches have Thursday night visitation. Well, that's okay. Some churches have a Saturday morning bus visitation. That's fine. But I believe this. I believe that God's method of visitation is 24/7. It's wherever you are, whoever you run across, you have the responsibility to get the gospel to them. I mean, that starts out either by putting some gospel tracts in your pocket. I mean, you know, some of you are going to go to Walmart today. Some of you practically live at Walmart. You ought to know that greeter by name by now. I know they have different greeters and so on. You ought to know the greeters by name. I mean, their job is to come and say, hey, have a good day and all that, and you present them with a gospel tract and invite them to church. And because you're going by them, you get to know them, you get their name. But that's the idea. Wherever you go, whoever crosses your path, whoever you can have a conversation with, whoever works next to you, sits next to you at the school, that's your responsibility. That's visitation. So we're on visitation 7 days a week. And sometimes that visitation is churchwide visitation on Thursday night. We just add that to our normal 24-hour visitation program. Sometimes it's Saturday morning bus visiting. We just add that to our 7-day-a-week visitation program. But we have the responsibility to preach the word everywhere we go. It's not the preacher's responsibility. He has a responsibility to God. But, you know, we don't have a preacher, so somebody does our visiting for us and witnessing for us. Let me say it again. We all have the responsibility as ministers in the ministry of reconciliation, called to preach to everyone that we can cross paths with or that cross paths with us to get the gospel to them. Whether it's through a gospel track at a busy checkout or whether it's time to sit down with a person and actually talk to them. That's your responsibility. And there are people that have done it in very unique ways. One fellow preaches in DeLand, Florida. His dad used to go to Walmart to witness. So did he go in the store? He sat on the bench outside of Walmart. Down in Florida, they got benches sitting outside in front of the Walmart. If he saw somebody sitting on the bench, he'd sit next to him. He'd strike up a conversation. He'd say something like, you know, taking my wife to Walmart is like the second coming of Christ. I'd say, what? See, I know he's coming, I just don't know when. I know she's coming, I just don't know when. And from that would open a conversation and witness. But, you know, people have unique approaches to this thing, but that's the responsibility. And people are probably not going to like it when you start to warning them about, you know, if you reject Jesus Christ. Here's where you go. You know, the wages of sin is death. You know, not just physical death, but the second death. And here's where that is, and so on and so forth. But, again, that's a responsibility. I don't have time to go through all of this morning, but the idea is this. Preaching is something that God has ordained. The world calls it foolishness. God doesn't. It's negative and positive, more negative than positive. Hard, wicked, rebellious sinners can't stand it. But it's something that is a necessity. The Word of God is manifest through preaching, and it's something you should cherish as a Bible believer. You should walk through those doors and sit in that pew and say to your flesh, boy, are you going to get it today? And then sit and let the preacher do what the preacher needs to do. And you know what? He can always preach better if you start saying, amen. Amen, preacher. Especially when he hits you. Amen, preacher. Because the greatest blessing you have in this life is your local church, and the greatest aspect of the local church is Bible preaching. All right, that's all I have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you again so much for preachers. Lord, we thank you so much for the Word of God that gives us something to preach. Thank you so much, Father, for the sword of the Spirit of God that cuts our flesh. I pray this morning, Father, for those that reject preaching, that maybe have left this church because of something that was preached, that you deal with their wicked, hard hearts, get them to repent and not be a fool in rejecting reproof. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd bless the preaching service. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We're all dismissed.